This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Some La Crosse and Monroe County residents voted in a special election this week, and they chose Democrat Steve Doyle to be the next representative of the State Assembly's 94th District. The seat was formerly held by longtime Representative Mike Hipsch of West Salem, who was appointed by Governor Scott Walker to become the Secretary of Administration. Doyle could be sworn in as early as next Wednesday. The Onalaska resident says first and foremost, he wants to get Republicans and Democrats talking. Doyle cites his experience as an attorney and La Crosse County Board Chair to help with that goal. I spoke with him this week at his law office in La Crosse.
Well, the day after the election, I haven't changed my position. I'm still planning to go to Madison and try to get people to start talking. No, it's not going to be an easy task. It's something that is going to be a huge challenge in terms of taking the polarization that is there right now and trying to find some area where we can find some common ground between the parties. But, you know, that's what I do for a living. I mean, as a lawyer, I do a lot of mediation, and, you know, I have people in front of me that, you know, can barely speak to each other without swearing, and my job is to try to figure out a way to get them on the same page, at least in you know, some respects. In Madison, my intent is to start small. You know, I realize as a freshman member of the minority party, I'm not going to be introducing my version of the budget and have that passed into law. I mean, that's not going to happen. But what I can do is to find areas that members of both parties have some interest. For example, I have a fair amount of expertise in the area of criminal law by virtue of being a member of the Criminal Justice Management Council and knowing the things that we do here in La Crosse County with regard to alternatives to incarceration. Exactly the things that have been supported by conservatives across the country. And I don't need to get credit for it. It would be something where, you know, I maybe sit down with a Republican member of the Assembly and say, hey, you know, what do you think of this idea? I can help you to move this forward by giving you some ideas on, you know, how this can work. And, you know, if they get credit, but it helps to build a bridge, that's the first step. So that's really what I want to do.
As you said, right now is a very polarizing time. I mean, not just in Wisconsin, but nationally. Mm-hmm. How will you gain the respect of Republicans, maybe some of those who just see you as just another Democrat?
Well, you get respect by earning respect. You know, I will walk into the legislature where almost none of the Republicans have any idea who I am, other than that I'm a member of the other party. And so the first place that I plan to start is whatever committees I get assigned to, there'll be members of both parties there. And that will give me a chance to basically build some relationships with people of both parties, because not a whole lot of Democrats know me either at this point. And so, you know, my goal is for the first several weeks to simply building relationships, trying to get to know kind of the different quirks, perhaps, of individual members, and maybe exaggeration to say build friendships among, you know, both parties, but at least to build some cordiality. And, you know, I'm going in with small expectations. I mean, it is about as bad as it can get in Madison at this point. So I have no expectation that it's going to be resolved, you know, anytime very soon. But I have every expectation that I'm going to give it my best, because that's really my biggest reason for wanting to be there in the first place. And so I'll be patient. I'll talk with a lot of people. I'm going to do a lot more listening, though, than talking.
And you've called yourself a bit of an independent here and there. Are there any issues right now that maybe the majority of Democrats are standing with that you don't support?
On a lot of the high visibility issues, I do support what the Democratic Party has been pushing. You know, the concern about the collective bargaining bill, voter ID, senior care, recycling, you know, there's some things that, you know, the Democratic Party has been fairly vocal about. Where I see probably differing from the party is going to be more in terms of emphasis. You know, if they're focusing on those issues and maybe I focus on, you know, for example, some of the things I've dealt with in the criminal justice area. I mean, there's certainly going to be things that naturally would separate us. You know, for example, there are going to be issues that are of interest to big city, you know, Milwaukee Democrats that don't have the same attraction over in western Wisconsin. And that would be perfectly understandable, and you know, we'll go our separate ways in that respect. But, you know, mainly what I want to do is to, you know, learn as much as possible. You know, if I disagree with my party or I disagree with the other party on an issue, first question I'm going to want to ask is, where are they coming from and why? And, you know, not just automatically assume that one person is right and another person's wrong.
And I want to talk about a couple of issues dealing with the budget now, because that's going to be quite a task to tackle, yeah, especially as a freshman representative. You said during your campaign you have taken time to read through the budget. Do you feel prepared to really start discussing those issues, or do you still feel like you have a bit of homework to do?
Absolutely, I have a lot of homework to do. Even if I were a full-time legislator right now, when you have a 1,200-page budget document, unless you wrote it, you don't know everything that's in there. So that's really my first task, because that is the biggest issue right now pending before the legislature, is I want to do two things with regard to the budget. First of all, I want to read various summaries. I've already seen one from the Wisconsin Counties Association. I've seen some that, you know, the Democratic Party members have pulled together. I want to read some other summaries of it. And then I want to just get my hands on the document itself. You know, as a lawyer, I have training to read those kinds of legal documents, and there may be some things that jump out at me that may be more subtle, and I may have some appreciation for exactly what's going on in those areas than, you know, a layperson would. You know, so I want to take the time. You know, this is a serious job, and it deserves my full attention. So that's the first project I have in terms of homework, is get my hands on as much reading material as I can.
Have there been any aspects of the budget that have jumped out at you that you wish people were talking about more, or do you still need to look into some of those things?
One of the areas that has gotten some attention, but it hasn't really been focused attention, has to do with the whole issue of school funding and how, you know, on the one hand, yes, everybody understands that the governor is proposing very substantial cuts in K-12 education. But what has been getting much less attention is how the school funding formula really works against Western Wisconsin, and you know, in particular, charter schools and voucher programs in Milwaukee are going to be getting the same, or in some cases even more money than they have in the past. And I have a concern about, you know, the ramifications of that. It's hard to figure out a rhyme or reason to it. You know, you may have some districts in the La Crosse area, for example, that have one type of a hit that they get, and an adjoining school district gets a totally different impact. So I need to understand a little bit better exactly how to quantify the impact of the formula and what can be done to perhaps make it more fair. But the other thing, you know, as a freshman legislator, what I really need to do is to kind of pick and choose my battles. You know, if I get up and start arguing about, you know, collective bargaining, for example, well, there are no new arguments that I can bring to the table in that respect. But if there is an issue that has particular impact on La Crosse County or on local government, you know, where I have some background and some expertise, I may be able to have some instant impact in those areas. And so, you know, I don't want to, you know, spread myself too thin. I want to save my powder basically for areas that I can have some impact, you know, fairly quickly.
There is a lot to the state budget. What is it going to take for you to put more of your support behind it?
Certainly there are some key things that would be, for me, the deal breakers. And I've talked about those in the campaign, things like senior care, things like the recycling. I'm very, very concerned about the impact on education. That is one that I'm really concerned that the ramifications haven't been realized sufficiently enough. I mean, to say, okay, we need to cut back, we need to save some money in education, there's a couple of things that can happen as a result of that. Number one, somehow that cost gets translated directly or indirectly to higher property taxes or fees or, you know, collateral costs that students and their families have to pay, whatever. Secondly, it could do irreparable harm to some of the programs that I think are very important. Programs like the SAGE program, English as a Second Language, Advanced Placement, all of those kinds of things that really have made our Wisconsin school system one of the best in the nation. You know, if those are gone, even for a period of just a few years, you know, we're going to have to be playing catch-up then to the rest of the country and literally the rest of the world. And you can't afford in this competitive market to, you know, to lose ground. So, you know, that's the first place I'm going to look, is what's happening in education in this budget. And unless I'm convinced that we're maintaining the integrity of our educational system in the state, then I'm going to have to be a no vote.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Steve Doyle, newly elected 94th District Assembly Representative. I want to talk a bit about the county and how the proposed state budget would affect La Crosse County.
We had very dire predictions at the beginning of the whole budget process in terms of what the impact was going to be with regard to cutbacks and shared revenue and other programs. And when it finally came to be that the budget was introduced, they were pretty significant, but they're not the end of the world. We took a look at the situation and we decided that we can make it work. And what we really have said all along is, give us the mark you want us to hit, and then just let us figure out the best way to do it. And so rather than letting our union contracts expire and not have collective bargaining essentially in La Crosse County, we extended them out a couple of years because the governor had talked about giving us tools to deal with the situation. That was one that we didn't feel we needed because we had other tools that we were using. We had 242 of our employees sign up for about $271,000 worth of unpaid furlough time voluntarily. That's going to help. We talked with our employees and our unions about reducing employment numbers through attrition and, you know, shifting positions. We talked about restructuring programs. We talked about looking at alternate sources of revenue, whether it's grants or perhaps in some situations maybe user fees or, you know, other sources of revenue. And we think that we're going to be okay. I mean, it's not going to be a pretty time and it's not going to be an easy budget, but we have a good staff at the county that has helped us work through those, you know, budget problems that we've had in the past. And we feel okay. You know, everybody needed to step up to the plate. Our union stepped up to the plate by agreeing to the cutbacks that the governor wanted. We're going to have across the board a lot of, you know, nipping and tucking here and there to, you know, to try to get as much of whatever remaining fat there may be in that budget out of there. But we're going to meet those the criteria that the governor set. So I'm not panicking in that respect. What I would hate to see, though, is that this becomes the long-term template for the future. I mean, some things you can defer. You know, for example, you can patch a few potholes rather than replacing a stretch of road. But at some point, you can't patch the potholes anymore. And we have several $1 million worth of unmet highway maintenance and repair needs in La Crosse County right now. We had a study that looked into that. So, you know, yeah, we can hold off for a little while, but at some point, you just have to face up to it and you have to deal with it. So we're willing to make the sacrifices. We're concerned, but we're not panicking. We have tightened our belts. We're willing to do what we need to do as long as we see some light at the end of the tunnel that we're going to get flexibility to, you know, to meet the needs that are out there.
So as La Crosse County Board Chair, you said that you will be stepping down from that position. Can you talk about that, maybe when it's going to happen and your feelings on that?
The most important thing that I would say to the public with regard to my position as County Board Chair is that the county does not and never has revolved around me. We have really good people there. We have a good leadership team on the county board. We have good county board members. And we have a great leadership team in terms of our staff, starting with Steve O'Malley, a county administrator, and on down. Not much will change when I leave. I love county board. I love county government. I'm certainly going to miss it. And that's why I want to be there in a scoped back capacity to assist in any sort of transition. But they'll manage just fine without me. Probably looking at about sometime this summer that I will step aside when I think things are lined up and it makes sense to make that move. And then at that point, we'll have some new leadership that will be old new leadership because we've got a lot of experience on the board and they know what they're doing.
So legally, you can be a state representative and the board county chair?
There's a conflict In terms of being a state legislator and being a state employee, but there's not a conflict in terms of being a county or a local government employee. So I, from a legal or even ethical standpoint, I could remain as county board chair. The county executive of Manitowoc County, in fact, is a member of the state legislature. So for me, it's not the conflict issue in terms of legality or ethics. It's conflict in terms of I haven't figured out a way to get more than 24 hours out of the day, and I just can't do the job that's going to be needed to be done to serve all those masters.
I want to get into what your thoughts are on your win. Mm-hmm. First of all, who do you think makes up the 94th district?
The 94th district is a very unique district in many respects. The electoral makeup of that district is fairly independent. You have elections, for example, in which Mike Hipps, the Republican, gets elected overwhelmingly. Ron Kind and Russ Feingold and Jim Doyle get elected overwhelmingly in the same election, by the same people. So these are not folks who are highly partisan, saying I'm always going to vote Democrat or always vote Republican. I mean, there may be a sliver of them, but not a huge population in that respect. The 94th is made up of people who are very independent, partisan-wise, and also who come from very different perspectives. We have the city of Onalaska, for example, an urban area. We have the town of Burns, a farming area. Town of Farmington, a farming area. We have the suburban areas in between. I mean, it's very much a conglomeration of a lot of different types of people. And in that respect, it's kind of difficult sometimes to weigh out what are the particular interests of that district. I give Mike Hipps credit for having done that for over a decade and a half in trying to balance out those competing interests. And that's what I hope I'm going to be able to do is to listen to everybody. And I'm from Onalaska, but there's a lot more to the district than Onalaska. On the other hand, Onalaska is, in terms of the 94th, the economic engine of the district. So, got to really look at all of the different people who are there. And I think as county board chair, I've gotten to know those people very well. But now I'm going to be in a different role, and the issues are going to be different. So I want to make sure that I'm in tune as much as possible with that very diverse population.
So why do you think you did end up winning the election?
I think there were a lot of dynamics that were going on. Certainly when I was knocking on the doors, I heard Scott Walker's name mentioned a lot, especially people that ultimately voted for me. There was a fair number of them that were very angry at the governor. And I've said this a lot of times. The anger that I heard from people was not in terms of the anger about his goal, because in a lot of cases they agreed with him. The anger was more in the methods and the tactics that were used, really the hardball, authoritarian type of approach that the governor used. People just didn't like that. They didn't feel that that was how we do things in Wisconsin. So I think to some extent, there were those people that wanted to send a message. And, I've joked that, a protest vote counts the same as a vote for me, so I'll take any of them. But, that was just one part of it, and I don't know how big of a part. I think that I very much benefited from the fact that La Crosse County has a good reputation. We run a very tight ship. Our taxes are low. I think 5 million times I said that we're the fifth lowest in the state, and, I keep repeating that. And people understood that, and I think I got a lot of benefit from that in terms of people saw that I had experience, knew what I was doing in terms of government, and could appreciate the fact that we don't have time for a learning curve in Madison. So I think that worked to my advantage. I think that the attack ads played a role in this, and I was not sure, even up until the last day, what that role was going to be. I had nightmares waking up in the middle of the night of people running me out of town because these attack ads made me look so bad. On the other hand, when I was knocking on doors, what I was hearing from people was, shame on those outsiders. Who do they think they are hijacking this election? And I think ultimately that was the side that prevailed. People were saying, dang it, it's the people of the 94th that are going to decide this election, not the outside interests. I guess unfortunately for my opponent, you know, they painted him with that same brush. You know, he had nothing to do with those ads, but they were mad about him, and, you know, he suffered the consequences.
And as you said, you heard from people around the 94th District that they weren't happy with how things were going in Madison. Some people are saying that your win is almost like a vote against Walker, is a vote against Mike Hipsch, who is now the Secretary of Administration. Do you agree with those statements, or do you stand behind the fact that I just got out there and got my message out?
I think that there were about, 17,000 people who voted in this race, and there are probably 17,000 different reasons why they voted the way that they did. I think a number of them voted to send a message to Walker and Hipsch on both sides. Some wanted to send a message of a vote of confidence, some a vote against. But I think to simplify this election in terms of that does a disservice to the voters. I think that there was a lot more going on. I mean, I don't think people just said, I'm going to vote to send Walker a message. I think that they were interested in what the candidates had to offer, their position on things, their experience, and so forth. So it's a more complex dynamic than simply saying, oh, yeah, this is a referendum on the governor.
And Mike Hipsch is obviously in a pretty powerful position now in Madison. I'm curious how your relationship is with him, and if, you know, you plan on working with him and talking with him, and maybe if you feel like the 94th District is a little protected since he still lives in the 94th.
I've always had a good relationship with Mike Hipsch. In fact, in the class that I taught last semester, he was one of my guest speakers. Came in and he was probably the best guest speaker we had all semester. Did a great job. He is somebody that I would feel that I could pick up the phone and call him, and if he did in response, if he called me, I'd be happy to talk to him. And that's going to be real important. I'm not going to go to Madison as a know-it-all. I'm going to go to Madison as somebody that wants to learn, and who better to learn from than Secretary of Administration, former Speaker of the Assembly, you know, the right-hand man of the governor. So I do intend to get together with Mike to learn about Madison, but also to learn about the 94th. You know, he held that seat for a long time, and not by accident. I mean, he worked hard, and people had a lot of respect for him. And, you know, I want to hear about what he felt was his secret. What are the things that are the particular needs of the district that I should be looking out for? You know, I feel like I can work with him, and he's a good enough guy. I think he's going to work with me.
That's Steve Doyle, the newly elected representative of the State Assembly's 94th District, speaking with me yesterday from his office. Coming up in the next half hour, a chat with a World War II veteran who was flown out to Washington, D.C. last fall to visit various war memorials. He was one of many local veterans to participate in the Freedom Honor Flight. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse.